2017, three men joined together in a pact to see what they could collectively do to advance civilization, further the cause of world peace, and elevate mankind. These three men were internationally renowned musician and Linkin Park multi-instrumentalist Dave Phoenix Ferrell, multiple PGA Tour champion and world-class golfer Brendan Steele, and Mark. They named themselves the Members. Those who they chose to sit with and ponder the mysteries of the universe, they named the Guests. What you're about to listen to is one of those historic conversations. Welcome to the Member Guest Podcast. Welcome to Member Guest.
And we're here, guys. I gotta say, right up front, never in my lifetime that I can remember have the words, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times," rung more true. Starting off with Dickens for you guys, little Dickens of Tale of Two Cities. Thank you, Mark. Mark immediately knows the reference. Brendan, yeah. Literary guy?
Yeah, no, but I had that one.
You knew that one.
I knew that one.
That's the beginning and the end of my literary trivia that I have for you guys on this fine, beautiful, what day are we even right now?
I think it's a Thursday.
It's Thursday.
I feel afternoon. Like it's kind of like just permanently Wednesday.
It always feels like Wednesday.
Obviously, I think it's pretty common right now with everything that's going on to be recording podcasts in different ways. At least a lot of the ones that I'm listening to, people are taking the social isolation. Is that the right word?
Distancing.
Maybe I'm taking it too seriously. I've been completely isolated for... I guess you socially isolate or self-isolate if you actually have it.
You self-isolate, but you social distance.
Okay.
See, those are the keys.
Immediately clearing things up. That's what we're here to do. You are listening to the Member Guest Podcast. This is Dave speaking right now.
Hi, Dave. The
Phoenix, if you're watching on some video clips. We're doing it differently, as I said. Usually the three of us, Mr. Mark Fiore, Mr. Brendan Steele, and myself, get a chance to get together, maybe have a beer, maybe make some cocktails, have a ton of laughs, and go through what's going on in the world of music and the world of golf, amongst all the other stuff as well. Today, we're not together in flesh, but we're together in spirit. I have with me Mr. Mark Fiore. Mark, how are you doing? You look very bundled up.
I am. It's cold here in Los Angeles. You are like, you look like you're on vacation somewhere outside in the sun and
always. I'm always on vacation. That's part of my goal in life. Always on vacation. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good. This is the first time we've done the podcast via computer Skype technology. So there was a little bit of juggling to do to get us going here, but it's kind of fun. This is the way that we're now doing life with our peers, I guess, right?
Before we say hi to Brendan, can you walk us through any stress that you've had so far with setting up a Skype podcast recording?
We are actually using Zoom, so we tried a few different things out. No, the process for me, the process
well,
is...
Well, I'm sponsored by Skype, so I have to say Skype every time. Just kidding. Skype, though. What's up?
What's up, Skype?
Hit me in my DMs.
You use Skype on all your other podcasts.
I think I've used Skype like three times in my life, but somehow I just say Skype a lot.
Yeah. It's more fun to say than Zoom.
Yeah.
It's a name brand.
Stress level, Mark. How's your stress level so far?
Stress level right now is probably a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay.
Worst case scenario, this thing doesn't work and record, and we just get to hang out for a good hour.
How is that different than when we normally record a podcast? Same kind of idea.
It's true. You know, I was looking at some stuff today, and I realized that our season 3 has been running now for over a year. So this might be a good time to just say this is the season finale, right?
I like
probably
to look
good.
At, I like to look at it as every single podcast episode is the finale.
Right.
That's the bar that I hold for myself.
Right.
And then you can kind of have that forever season with just all finales. Kind of like, that's the same way I go about music. Like every song needs to be your favorite. And that's why I'm losing you guys. You're not believing
me. This is a great transition to Brennan, right? Every shot's got to be your best shot.
Brendan Steele, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm hanging in there. This is obviously a very strange time. At the current moment, got a nice setup here. I've got my phone on top of my daughter's small tea table where we sit and have tea with a whey protein big bucket. And the phone is on top of that. And then it's up against some other supplement that I've had sitting around the house for a couple years. And I've got an elephant next to me, giant elephant. And should I need it, I also have a giant lamb. So I am in awesome shape here.
And a lot of people wouldn't have picked up on the subtlety of this, B, but if you're a professional athlete, your protein and supplements are by the bucket load. You've got buckets of protein with you. I usually just have a little sippy cup size thing or something. Brendan's got buckets.
I've got buckets, and if anybody's ever seen me, it's pretty obvious that I take a lot of supplements. So
I was going to comment, your guns are looking nice there.
they're a little small even for me right now, so which is scary.
So do you have your 2-year-old on like a whey protein? This is her protein. You keep those just in her
playroom? Yeah, I keep it in her playroom. It's like it's up against the castle and next to the unicorn and stuff like that. So just make sure to slip it in anything she's eating. She's got to get more protein, get huge.
get ripped.
So how are you boys finding this so far? For us, I think we're 10 days into this lockdown of California. So depending on where you're listening from, we've been locked down in California here for quite a while now. And I think most of us are basically just staying in the house. What have you guys been doing? Have you been getting out of the house at all? Have you been going for runs or what's going on?
We've been, this is a weird time. I mean, there's almost not a right word to describe it because there's nothing obviously that's ever happened in our lifetime and maybe even in history that is similar to what's going on at the moment.
Except for Carmageddon when they closed the 405 freeway to the one.
Well, we've got in our lifetime, we've got Carmageddon and Y2K. Those are our two reference points. Y2K was maybe a little more global. Carmageddon was maybe a little more serious.
A little more local. Yeah, you know what? That was actually probably the most enjoyable day that I could ever remember in Los Angeles because nobody was doing anything. It was free reign.
It actually, you kind of, at that point, you wished like every day was Carmageddon because you could actually drive on the freeways. They did a great job of clearing that place out from traffic.
Right.
But, I mean, globally, it's crazy to think of in some sense or another that almost everybody, not everybody, but almost everybody worldwide is doing some version of social distancing, some version of stay at home at the moment. That's crazy. Like when would that have ever happened historically? You wouldn't even have the possibility or the potential to do it until now. It's this weird thing that we're living through. It's hard to contextualize it in that sense. And right now at our house, we've been kind of on stay at home mode for probably a little over 2 weeks now. And, the thought of the best times, worst of times at the start came from my thought process that there are some things, some silver lining in the process that I've really enjoyed about it. And there's obviously a ton of it that I've really not enjoyed, but, we've done a lot of funny things that we've never done before with the kids. We started out like doing movie nights and going on little walks after dinner, just, our family. We've since kind of moved past a lot of those where it's almost like, okay, now we're pretty sick of seeing each other all day. Last thing in the world I want to do is go on like a mile walk. but it's still interesting in that sense. You know, it's just, it's so different, you know, and there's aspects of it for me that have been nice to have that slow down. It also, like, the last couple of years for me, I feel like I've been training for this, just kind of been like figuring out things to do with my time as it is. So I've been in the coronavirus gym for years, so to speak. Mark, how have you been doing with all this stuff?
Good.
It's, you also know, like, you guys both have younger kids too, which is a whole different.
Yeah. I was going to say that, you know, we've always kind of been a family that's really enjoyed, like, walking around the neighborhood in the morning and the afternoon. That's kind of been a routine for us that we've taken advantage of. And it's crazy now because the amount of people in our neighborhood and our community that in general are just walking around and, you know, saying hi from across the street and kind of keeping that respectful distance in the process. But we've met like tons and tons of people. There's families and kids, and it's weird, like you said, Dave, where to go through a time where everybody's kind of going through the same thing at the same time. And it is this crazy social experiment that we're going through. And there is definitely like silver lining. And part of that is because we're all like in the same boat, right? We're all dealing with the same challenges at the same time. If, you know, I lose my job or so-and-so has a tragedy in the family or this or that, like, it's hard to be like entirely empathetic, but in this sense, like, everybody kind of is. So even in where we are in LA, it seems like there's been, an increase in politeness and
everybody's more awareness. Friendly for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really, really nice. So, in that sense, but you know, yeah, having a 4-year-old, who loves going to school. And then all of a sudden you're trying to tell them that he can't go to school and, he doesn't understand it. And he thinks that he's sick because we were trying to keep him away from other people. And, those are challenges for sure. I think through the process, my wife and I realized that we're definitely not going to attempt homeschool next year.
Are you guys holding up?
Yeah, we're holding up. I mean, we, you know, for us, we've been traveling so much that I think initially, at least this first like couple weeks has been kind of fine. Tori's been happy to be home. She was on the road with us for 3 weeks in Florida. And so she's been happy to get home and see all of her toys and all of her, you know, different stuff that she had been missing. And Anastasia is always like trying to slow us down anyway. So this is kind of a mandatory shutdown. For me, it's a little weird because I'm used to going to the golf course and practicing and working out. And at least like, even when I'm in the off season or in off weeks or whatever, having different things to do and having that kind of like outlet to go and be active and be social and whatever. And now I'm just kind of, I'm sitting around with Tori and Anastasia, and we're just kind of looking at each other like, we're going to do the same thing again today. We're going to try to convince Tori that we're going to go on a walk. And she's like, I think the funny thing about what you were saying, Dave, where you're like, I don't know if we can go on a mile walk together at this point. Tori's that way with us right now. Like, Anastasia and I are fine together and we're fine to hang out with Tori. And Tori's kind of like, I'm good. Like, just you, why don't you guys go on a walk? Leave our 2-year-old at home to fend for herself.
I was alluding to it a little bit earlier to you guys, but I think it's true that my dogs don't even want to go on walks at this point. Like, they're just kind of like, dude, really? Come on, man. Like, leave the house so we can get some sleep. Like, they'll still like put on the happy dance for their leash, but then you go outside and they're just kind of like, eh, I think I'm done. Like, I'm over it. No more walks.
Yeah. They thought they hit the jackpot, right?
When
coronavirus hit, they're like, oh yeah.
Week one, they're like, this is amazing.
I like that your kids, Dave, behind you are waving in the window.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. And a bee or something almost buzzed your tower there.
It's all happening at the Farrell household.
Yeah. Dude, you know, it was super funny too. I'm going to come out of this whole thing. I mean, you thought I was ripped going into it. Just a monster. Nice mask, Mark.
You thought sorry, I'm listening, Dave. I just felt like a little intimidated, a little worried here about
you saw my children on my screen and that made you need to get a mask on.
How weird would that have been if I had just done that out of context? You know, like 6 months ago, you'd be like, what the hell are you doing? But now it's pretty normal just to see people driving their own cars with masks on and gloves. And
I'm just surprised that you have any hand sanitizer. How'd you get that stuff?
You know what? It helps to have an infant. My wife was buying this stuff like crazy. And then
you've got a serious crinkle by your microphone, Mark.
Oh, was it buzzing?
Maybe.
Clipping? Yeah, we've got plenty of hand sanitizer. We'll do trades. I'll trade you this for some golf equipment, Brendan.
That's a deal. So one of the crazy things that came out of this for us is that we were in Florida when this all kind of went down.
Yeah, I purposely have not talked to you or asked you about that because I wanted to hear it and record it
in podcast form.
Yeah, in podcast form. Take us through not only getting home from the Players, but just even that whole week of the Players and kind of what was going on down there.
Yeah. So like full chaos for us. We flew into Orlando. We drove to West Palm Beach. We had a tournament there. Then we drove up to Orlando and we had a tournament there. And then from Orlando, we were trying to figure out if I was even going to get into the field at the Players. And I ended up being first alternate on Monday. So I'm just, as first alternate, you just kind of sit around all week and hope that somebody gets hurt, basically, which is kind of a weird position to be in.
In a normal tournament, like, because this, the Players is obviously one of like the more elite tournaments, right, during your season. So in a normal tournament, if you're first alternate, do you have a pretty good chance that someone's going to be injured or sick or decide not to play? But like, how does that compare to this tournament?
Yeah, so a normal event, I would say two or three guys probably at least withdraw every week. If you're first alternate on Monday, you're going to get in 95% of the time, I'd say at least. When you're at a major or the Players, guys are more apt to kind of like play through whatever's hurting them, you know, and at least give it a try and see if they can get hot early and just kind of fight through the pain. So you definitely have less of a chance. So I was sitting around all week. I was trying to prepare as if I was going to play the tournament. We get to Thursday morning, the first round of the tournament, and nobody's withdrawn. So I go at 6:30. I have breakfast. I'm just waiting through the morning wave. So the way it works is like 7:30, I think, was first time, 7:30 to like 9:30. And then there's a break, and then it'll be like 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock, you know, or 1 o'clock to 2:30 or whatever it was. And so we get through the whole morning wave. Nobody withdraws. I go back in. I'm starting to think, like, this isn't going to happen today. And this is coming off of that Thursday was President Trump had just given his first kind of, like, acknowledgement that this is, like, a really big thing the night before. That was when the NBA had postponed everything and they had had Gobert had just gotten it. And the NCAA was postponing things. And it was kind of going crazy. That was, like, the first night when everything went nuts. And that was Wednesday night. So come to find out around 12:45 that a player named CT Pan was so terrified of the virus that he wasn't going to come out of his hotel room, and he had a 2 o'clock tee time. So I snapped up his tee time. So the big joke with Keegan and with my buddies was I was the only person to actually benefit from coronavirus. So I get in and I get to go play, and I play the first round and I shoot even par. I play okay. I'm kind of in the middle of the pack. And then going to bed that night and get a text at like 11 o'clock and it says the Players has been canceled, you know, please like come get your stuff and get out of here kind of thing. So we were frantically booked a flight from Orlando back to LA, and we were just going to drive down from Ponte Vedra, so from 3 hours north of Orlando. And in the morning, I go get my stuff. We're on our way. We drive to the freeway, and you can either go south to Orlando or you can go north up to Jacksonville. And we got to the freeway and we kind of freaked out and didn't want to expose Tori to whatever would be in Orlando airport and LAX and,
right,
you know, like being two of the major like international airports in the world.
Had they already had the like Disney World like symptoms at that point or not yet? Or
yeah, so they had the Disney World stuff, and Tori had been sick the week before, and I was feeling like I was getting sick too, and like, we didn't want to expose everybody else to that. And then also, like, we were seeing these stories about people on planes, like, getting in fights over, you know, one guy's coughing, and so the other passengers are, like, in an uprising, and they have to land planes, and they quarantine passengers that they think are sick, and, like, it's all just chaos. So Anastasia and I are both freaking out. We're texting our friend who's a physician's assistant, John Curran's wife, and she's like, you're going to be fine if you fly, like, just do this, this, and this. But she's got a 2-year-old as well, and she was like, you know, if it were me, I would drive. So we turn right and we go north, and we're just like, screw it.
And this is, you're in your rental car?
We're in our rental car, and we're just like, screw it, we'll just drive. So we start driving.
You come to a T in the road, and your T in the road is, if I turn left, I fly home from Florida. If I turn right, I drive home from Florida.
And we go right.
And we turn right.
So we turn right, and then we're just thinking, like, my thought is Tori's never going to put up with this. I mean, she's just a little over 2. Like, it's 2,400 miles. Like, what is she going to do when we're just, like, driving in the middle of nowhere? So I'm thinking, okay, well, worst case, we can get to some other city and fly out. If this is a terrible decision, like, we'll drop this car in Baton Rouge or New Orleans or Dallas or however far we can get.
Right.
And to her credit, she was awesome. And so we just, like, we charged to Baton Rouge that night. We're just, like, stopping at Starbucks every, like, couple hours. We hit Cracker Barrel, which is one of Anastasia's favorites. So she was jacked about that.
Well, she probably got to watch Minions, what, like 40 times or something on the way.
She watched Minions probably 40 times. You were texting me and you were like, is she watching Frozen 2? And I was like, it's Minions. But yeah, it's on just fully on repeat. So she was doing pretty good. We were just kind of like feeding her snacks, and she's got a big, like, bucket of toys, and she slept for maybe like an hour and a half of the entire thing. So she wasn't getting much sleep. But we go to Baton Rouge the first night, and we're trying to, like, map out our trip and figure out where we can go and where would be, like, a decent hotel room, you know? So, like, Baton Rouge, we stayed in this really nice place in downtown. It was a cool city. I'd never seen it before. We drove through Alabama, Mississippi, and into Louisiana that first day. So we were kind of seeing, like, all these different states.
You're on a and snack then, store.
Yeah, we're on the, we're totally, we're doing the snacks thing. Just I-10. That's known as the snacks haven down there.
Yeah, you just gotta stop at a coffee shop every 300 miles and play, like, a 20-minute show for 6 kids.
And then feed Dave an imaginary sandwich.
Your navigation at one point says, like, turn left to get on the 10 West and stay on for 2,500 miles.
That's exactly what it is. Like, I was talking with my other friend, with Greg, about this last night, and he was saying that he's like, so what route did you take? And what? I'm like, the 10 goes to Jacksonville. We literally got on the 10 in Jacksonville and got off of it in San Bernardino. Like, I mean, it's crazy. But the second night we drive and we can't really figure out where to stay because it's the middle of nowhere, Texas. Like, once you get past San Antonio, there's just almost nothing. Like, you'll go hundreds of miles and then there's, like, maybe a Holiday Inn and a Sonic. And we ended up staying in Ozona, Texas that night. Holiday Inn, went into the Sonic. And it was funny because this whole trip, like, nobody seemed like they even cared about coronavirus whatsoever. Like, you know, everybody where we're coming from at the Players is freaking out. I'm hearing everybody in California is freaking out. And nobody cares along this entire route of 2,400 miles. And the big thing that we wanted to execute on this trip was Anastasia's always wanted to go to Marfa, which is in the middle of nowhere, Texas. It's like 3 hours from El Paso. And it's this funky little hipster art town, and they have these weird art installations, and it's become like this famous place. The Prada Marfa is like the big thing, and we actually have a picture of it in our house.
Right.
So we were like, all right, if we can cross one thing off our bucket list, let's cross Marfa off. So I'm looking at, like, where we can go and what we can do, and Dave's even sending me, like, oh, check this place out, get me some Marfa swag, you know. So
that makes it sound like I know what's going on, which couldn't be further from the truth. I think you sent me a text like, tomorrow we're doing Marfa, and I just thought that was, like, a, you know, some kind of a random name that you'd pulled out of a hat. So I started Googling it, like, I started doing my research, and on the Google Maps I think I found a pretty sick boot shop.
You did find a sick boot shop, and you sent it to me, and I was looking at the link, and it was like $600 boots, and I'm like, Dave wants me to buy him $600 boots. Like, what an asshole. But nonetheless, I was going to go check it out.
But you got some, right?
I got them in every color. So I find this cool little coffee place, right? They're saying like, oh, this is the place to go get this cool coffee. And I'm all about finding the cool, like, hipstery coffee places. And Anastasia hates it when I do this. She's just always like fed up with it. It always like pisses her off. And so I drag her to this hipster coffee place. Well, this is the one guy on the entire trip that is completely freaking out about coronavirus. It's the guy running this little coffee shop. So he's got it all like walled off and he's made this little to-go area, right? And so there's this big like dirt parking lot with a couple picnic tables and a bathroom. The bathroom's locked. He won't give you the key. There's this big line of people. There's like 15 people in line to get $7 lattes and like avocado or peanut butter toast and stuff. He's dressed like the craziest hipster you could ever imagine. And he's like taking everything super seriously and being kind of pissed off. So I get up to the front of the line and we order our coffees, we order our peanut butter toast, you know, whatever. And he has this, which is probably smart, but at the time I was just like, what an asshole. He's got this giant bag of hand sanitizer that he's like, makes me put my hands out, and he squeezes this hand sanitizer on my hands so that I have to press like the screen, you know, to use my credit card. So he's like trying to keep the screen sanitized. So I'm not into this whole scene. So I get the coffee, get the toast. The stuff's good, you know, but it's, you could miss it. Well, while we're getting ready to leave, he starts yelling at somebody because apparently somebody picked up the wrong avocado toast or something. It was under, did you pick up the avocado toast under this name or that name? And Anastasia's like, oh shit, maybe I picked up the wrong one, you know? And I'm like, well, if you picked up the wrong one, they just skipped you because these people were in line behind us. So like, so that's how we left that place. Was this guy dressed like a hipster pirate screaming at people because they picked up the wrong avocado toast. So that was not our best impression. Well, it's right around the corner.
What's awesome about that too is that you, like any normal person, automatically assumes that this has something to do with like what's going on globally, where that could just be his regular like Saturday afternoon
right
thing. Like that could just totally be his like his coffee vibe. It's just like,
he's like, what?
Damn it, who took the wrong toast? Yeah. You took the wrong toast.
Are you kidding me? So we proceed, since there was no bathroom, I had to go around the corner into an alley and take a leak on a cactus. And I was like worried I was going to get arrested while I was doing this. We walked down to Dave's Boot Shop, which is one block away.
That wasn't the name of it though, right?
It was, I think they changed it because you were so excited about it. So we get there.
It's called Mr. Powerful's Boot Shop.
Mr. Powerful's. That's it. We get there, and there's somebody inside, and there's a sign in the window that says, no walk-ins, by appointment only.
Hell yeah. My kind of boot shop.
And I'm going, now, wait a second. We're out here in the middle of nowhere, and I want to come into your store and potentially spend money, and you're going to send me away. I'm so confused as to what is actually happening in this town. So our big tagline has now been, Anastasia and I keep saying, we did Marfa so you don't have to. Mm. So tell your friends, Marfa is not an important place to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Marfa, the grumpiest place on earth.
No doubt about it.
I should have called ahead for you for the boot shop.
Yeah, it got really me an appointment.
Yeah, that's my bad.
I could have got you some sick purple boots there for $600. So we went from there. We ended up getting to Tucson that night and then Tucson home. And so it was a big effort. And I kind of freaked out the last night in Tucson. I was feeling really sick by this point. And I don't think I had coronavirus, but I'm not really sure. I'm kind of hoping that maybe I did so that I had it and it's gone and the girls didn't get it and whatever. But I was worried we were going to like get the borders were going to be closed. They wouldn't let us back into California or there wouldn't be any food when we got back. Or, you know, our friends are telling us there's no food anywhere. So it was a little stressful getting back. But then when we got home, everything's been fine.
Yeah.
So I was in Cape Town, South Africa during all of this or just before you probably started your drive. And we had an awesome trip. I went out there to my friend Chris's wedding. this is a guy who I had met almost 20 years ago, backpacking through Europe. We met in San Sebastian. We were doing like a language school, and we met kind of surfing and stayed in touch for years. Dave, you've met Chris many yeah. times, and Chris was actually...
He's given me some underwear.
He has, yeah. he's given a lot of people underwear, actually. He had an underwear business, but he helped do our member guest logo. And so we, my wife and I went all the way out to Cape Town, sans children. We were out there for 9 or 10 days, and I got super sick while I was out there as well. And for me, everything was like sinus infection, like crazy sinus pressure, no fever, none of the symptoms of the coronavirus. But man, I was like hyper paranoid, and was, you know, we were able to get home just before they kind of banned all the international travel stuff. But that was a very quiet flight home.
The funniest aspect of all this is me finding myself just saying some of the dumbest stuff. Like I told Lindsay, we were flying home from vacation in Mexico a couple weeks ago, just when it was starting to get a little more serious and travel restrictions were starting to get more serious. But she was having some kind of an allergy thing going on, and she was sneezing on the airplane. And at a certain point, I told her, like, hey, you got to, like, cool it on the sneezing. like people are starting to take this really seriously. Like, but as I was saying it, I was realizing I was half joking, but half like serious, like kind of like, hey, knock it off. But you're talking about sneezing. You can't just decide to stop sneezing. Especially this wasn't the case, thankfully, on this flight, but she's flown where somebody's like taken a cat out of like a protector, and she's super like allergic to cats. And then she starts sneezing in the airplane because there's a cat like a row or two in front of her.
Didn't we cover that on a podcast?
Yeah. Thankfully, it wasn't that again, but it was some kind of an allergy, some kind of a sneezing thing going on the airplane coming back. And I'm just like, not the time. Like, we're going to get kicked off the airplane mid-flight, or we're going to land and not be allowed back in the country. Or like, this could go wrong. You got to stop sneezing. I know.
14-day quarantine.
Dude, okay. I wanted to ask you guys, because I definitely have a quarantine low point. For me, it was at the height of like nobody knowing exactly what was going on with the virus itself, on top of not knowing in the US how bad it was going to be, you know, where are we going to get to. I think we had maybe just had our schools get closed, so no idea what was going to happen with that. Like all the uncertainties, everything was just at like its fever pitch. And I was like, I'd wound myself up as much as I can wind myself up. And Sunday night, I'm sitting at home, and I was already starting to think like, okay, we don't have like a ton of stuff at our house at this point. I haven't been stockpiling anything, nor do I really want to, you know, so what's my best play here? I'm like, I'm thinking if businesses and everything start to close down, then that's going to happen later in the week. So tomorrow morning, I'm going to get there right when they open. I'm going to see what it's like. I'm going to outsmart everybody because everybody's still going to be at work. I'm going to make sure we've got, you know, paper goods and all the silly stuff that everybody's been stockpiling. I'm going to go there because we currently at this stage have like two rolls of toilet paper left. I'm in. So the next, so that was one thing. I'm winding myself up about it, thinking about like my whole master plan. And then I go, this was probably after maybe a little bit too much wine. Then I start going, you know what else we need? We need some emergency food. Like I'm going to order some of that. So I order what turns out to be food meals for 30 days times 5, because 5 people are family. So what is that?
Are these like astronaut meals?
Yeah,
are these like freeze dries?
Yeah, they go in like a bucket. At this point, I didn't know how big the storage was going to be for this stuff. But I was just like, that sounds like a good plan. I've got, 3 meals a day times 30 days, 90 meals times 5, 450 meals worth. That's what I
order. Keep that in sounds mind, right.
Each one of these things too is like supposed to be calorie dense. So the whole thing is like, you need the calories as opposed to actual good food.
Taste. Or
food.
Yeah.
So
It's like 500 million calories of food.
Lindsay's just like, what are you doing? You're losing your mind. Like the whole time I'm doing this and I'm trying to like get her to say like, this is a good idea. You should buy it. She never says this is a good idea. You should buy it. But I do it anyway. Right. I do it anyway. The next morning I get up at 5 a.m. The whole thing is like the supermarkets open at 5 by us. I'm going to be here like as they open, beat the crowd, see what they've got when they're fully stocked or whatever. I roll out only to find everywhere around us. That's the day the supermarkets decided to change their hours. And so everybody now has posted signs like new store hours. We don't open till 7 a.m. So I'm just like, crap, you know, I'm not going to go home. So I sit it out. I go to a Starbucks. I do like the awkward walking drive-through thing where you don't stay in the store, whatever. Do that. I eat like Starbucks with a Starbucks breakfast outside in the freezing cold. I drive to a different supermarket, like farther away, thinking there might be less people there or whatever. Finally, 7 a.m. comes. They open up the store. I'm there with all the psychos.
Is it like supermarket sweep?
I'm there with all the crazy people that have had the same thought process that I've had. Like it's literally all of the like anxiety people that are just should not be out at 5 a.m., let alone 7 a.m. shopping supermarkets.
Nobody's being calm and normal.
Are you just
everybody's running? Everybody's being civil, but this is the crew. This is like the alpha crew of like, I'm going to beat the system. Like these people are all thinking they're like one-upping everybody. And so it's all that same mentality of just like,
it's just a bunch of Daves at 7 in the morning.
Yeah. It's a bunch of people who have like ordered way too much emergency food the night before who think they figured out some kind of life hack on coronavirus. So all of us are just there at the same time. They open up the thing and they haven't, as we go in, I quickly look around. I realize like nobody's been here stocking this place overnight. They're just starting to stock it now. And the only reason why it's like super crazy and busy is because of all these idiots, myself included, who have thought that this was important to be here, to then just stand around and watch them bring out like meat slowly and like stock bread and whatever. I'm like slowly realizing there's no shortage of any of this shit. It's just that dumbos like myself are here thinking you need to come like grab everything. So anyway, I got back home and then the next day, P.S., I went to Costco. And then got home and Lindsay's put the moratorium on me of shopping and said, like, you're done. We don't have freezer space for all this stuff.
Did your meals come yet?
My meals have not come, but she asked the question of like, did you even check how much space this takes up before you purchased it? And I was like, no, that's a great question. It's like, that's a great question. I saw a photo of the boxes that one thing comes in and it seems reasonable, but times five, it might be insane. So let me go out let me get a tape measure, go out in the garage and figure out where I'm going to put all this stuff when it gets here. The other thing of that too, is I ordered it and I only half registered again, cause it was late at night and I might've had a little bit of wine. I only half registered that it said it might take up to 80 to 90 days because they're so back ordered for them to get it to me. So maybe like 2 to 3 months from now, our joke in our house is we're going to hopefully have a end of coronavirus party. You guys will be invited and we're going to be serving you guys some sick
astronaut meals,
dehydrated astronaut food. We can invite a whole ton of people.
I love it.
Invite 450 people over for a meal. That was my low point.
Yeah, that's a good low point.
It was
good. Pretty bad.
We've got actually a surplus of toilet paper right now because we always have a bunch of toilet paper in general for our rental. You know, we always just do Costco runs, and I think we had just kind of hit Costco beforehand, and then I think we did the initial like freak out and go get toilet paper. And then the last time I checked, we have like 400 rolls of toilet paper in our garage. And we were pulling our car into the garage the other day. And this guy's like walking past us. And he probably just thought we were insane because there was like all this toilet paper.
You're going to get toilet paper robbed. So right. When all this stuff was going down, like I said, when it started getting crazy, we were just coming home from Mexico. So we didn't have any real chance. I don't think we would have stocked up on anything anyway, but any real chance to go out and get stuff. Everything was kind of already gone. That was going to be gone by the time we got home. And we had maybe one of those, like a normal size thing, like package of 6 rolls of toilet paper you get from the grocery store. And we had like one of those in the house. That's it. So like day one that all the kids are home, at the end of the day, you know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, I go into our downstairs bathroom and I look and there's two empty rolls, toilet paper rolls in the trash. And it's like the kids have used, at this point, I'm like, what is going on? They've used more than 2 rolls just today. And I'm like, we've got, in my reckoning, at most we have 6 total. And I'm like, that's if none of these rolls that are now gone was one of those 6. I'm like, so I family meeting. I'm like, kids, you're not going to have to come to mom or I, and we're going to distribute toilet paper to you because you guys are being crazy with the stuff. And this is not the time. Not
3 squares a day.
Yeah. Like when you need to go to the bathroom, you come, you find mom or I, obviously we're going to be at the house. Come find us. We'll give you toilet paper, your allotment. Like we'll ration you your toilet paper. You go to the bathroom. Like you guys are clearly don't understand what it means to not use a ton of toilet paper. They're like, all right, dad, cool. Like we got it. 2 days later, I'm like, they're not even coming. Like what's going on? They're not even coming to me and asking for toilet paper. And we still have like all the 2 rolls that I set aside for them that I'm going to be distributing to them brand new. I go to, I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh dad, we just stopped wiping. that was their solution. To which I was like, kind of genius. And this might lead to something worse than coronavirus. Were you to, I don't know. Like this could be a whole different thing. I'm like, okay, we need to figure out a middle ground. So I think we've made progress now since then, but their knee-jerk reaction was obviously not my best parenting.
So Steely, are you doing any, are you like rolling putts down your hallway or what are you doing to like keep, cause you're basically in the middle of the golf season, right? I mean, once they're clear, you guys are going to go back full force.
There's been a lot happening. So Shady, my home course, been open, it's been closed, then they opened it for just walking only play, no range, no guests, no food, no booze, no carts, and a couple days ago they shut it down completely. So now I have nowhere to practice, so I ordered a net and a mat for the backyard. And I'm going back to my roots. That's how I did it in Idlewild, and that's how I do it here. So I just got that set up yesterday. Except now I've got a TrackMan to put behind it. So I've got a very expensive machine to tell me where the ball is going and what's going on.
Right. Is it hard to wrap your head around that, like to be serious and to like actually work on improving things and stuff? Or, I mean, how will you approach that?
I don't think there's really going to be a way for me to improve. The key is just not to fall too far behind. So. Right. I want to just make some swings, see what the numbers are, keep a club in my hand, send some videos to my coaches. And then I got a putting mat and I'm going to hit putts on that and send video to my coaches so I can work on my stroke and things like that. So trying to figure out what I can do. But on like the third day we were home, I was out doing our daily walk, which is our only activity. And Tori threw a stuffed animal out of, it was actually this lamb. She threw this out of her stroller and I lunged to catch it. And now, being the athlete that I am, my back went out.
Oh.
So I was in recovery mode for a week and now it's just starting to feel better. So, so there's been all sorts of stuff, but the weird part is normally when we have a break and it's the off season or whatever, you have a date that's like a certain date when you're going to start. And you know, like January 6th is my first event, you know, or whatever it is. And you know what you want to work on. You can go to the course. You can work on things that weren't good in the fall, weren't good this season. You can go see your coach. You can be in the gym. And now all that stuff is out the window, and we have no date. So it's kind of like it's easy to be super lazy right now. And then I'm hoping that this mat just keeps a club in my hand so that I don't have to totally start from scratch when we get going again. But fortunately, the season's been pretty good so far, so I don't have to stress about getting started really hot right away either once we do get back.
Right.
So over where I live, we've got, you know, some space and outdoorsy areas and some trails in our neighborhood and some, you know, horse trails, that kind of stuff. So lots of areas, thankfully, where you can get outside and go for a walk or go for a run. The thing that I have found that a couple people do, like when you approach them on a trail, which is so bizarre to me, is they'll do the first thing, which is consider it normal, nice, makes sense, where they'll get to one side. So you have like as much space as possible. Like you can kind of keep 6 feet or even more separation as you pass, and you kind of say hi, wave, whatever, and you know, keep your distance. Maybe 1 out of 10 people, maybe less than that even, so a very small percentage, will turn and like literally face away from you. So it's almost like they're shunning you as you go by, and not like, almost it's a version of like, if I can't see it, it's not happening. Like that kind of like mentality. And so during this whole process, the way my brain works when I'm stressed out or whatever else is that I usually in my head just am making fun of other people. And so I'm like critiquing people sometimes out loud, but a lot of times just in my head on like why what they're doing is dumb. But when that happens, I'm just like, that's not how virus works. Like you can't close your eyes and turn around and then be like, okay, I'm good. Like, you know, if I'm going to pass you on a trail at 6 to 8 feet away from you, and if it is aerosoled and if it's in literally the air, then by turning, you're not going to be able to breathe different air. Like if I sneeze at you and you're turned, same problem. Like it's going to hit you and your face or your hands or whatever else. Like you're just at this point, it's like it reminds me of when we'd play like Linkin Park shows opening for Metallica and the crowd would be mad and they just turn around. You'd be like, you're just turning around like hoping the band that you are not here to see gets off stage faster. Like that's what you're doing. And so
you can still hear the music.
it's the equivalent of too. I've seen a lot of really funny like homemade masks where at first I was just, now I can at least, because I've listened to some things where it's like a lot of times you'd want to wear a mask, or a benefit of wearing any type of mask would be that you would touch your own face less if you're wearing a mask. Like it's more like it's, you're not obviously going to not breathe something in. Like people are now, not even everybody, but some people are finally understanding that a surgeon doesn't wear a mask to protect himself. He wears it to not infect the person he's doing surgery on. Same thing with a dentist. You're wearing a dental hygienist mask thinking you're doing something about coronavirus. Like you're not, that's not how air works. Like it's going to go in the sides, right? But if you're wearing it because you're like, this reminds me not to play with my phone and then like pick my nose because I have a mask on, then yeah, maybe you're doing some good. Dude, there's a person, you got to look it up. There's a person who had his shoe that was tied to his face. So it's literally, it's the funniest thing ever. It's literally like the shoe is pointed up and it's the part that you put on your foot that's over his mouth. And then the laces are part of what ties it behind his back. And he's serious about it. And he's at like a cafe. I think it might even be in New York, but somebody else.
I was hoping you were going to say it was like a boot and he was ordering a coffee and a hipster coffee shop.
He's got a $600 purple boot and he's ordering $7 mocha.
Not able to use the bathroom. And a $9 toast that you're going to get yelled at and not be able to take a leak.
Yeah. just don't take the wrong toast. That's what I've learned.
If you've learned anything from coronavirus, it's don't take the wrong toast.
Well, we could probably look into, since we're just really capitalizing on member guest merch, we could probably work on some member guest face masks.
Dude, shoe masks?
I hear that the Fioris have an overabundance of toilet paper. Let's sell some member guest toilet paper.
We could.
Let's autograph that stuff and send it out.
Maybe I'll mock up a member guest face mask and we'll.
Dude, it would be. See, like that mask, Mark, you're really not protecting yourself. You know that, though. You're smarter than that mask. It would be awesome.
I'm protecting you, Dave.
Right. I appreciate that. At a time when toilet paper is back to normal, I would love to do member guest toilet paper. We should see if we can research.
Do you just want the logo on there, or do you want our faces on there so you could actually like,
you know, wipe how they ass with well, you know how face. They have you know how that would be my favorite. We could do one of us, like we could do three different versions and each of them is just like one of us on it and then see who gets wiped on the most. You know how they have like the Christmas toilet paper or whatever? There's got to be a way post, not right now, I'm sure there's no way, but post all this, there's got to be a way to like make your own novelty toilet paper. That would be huge.
Coronavirus innovation.
Well, guys, this was different for us, but definitely still a ton of fun. Mark, Brendan, it's always my pleasure to hang out with you both. And for everybody listening, thanks for listening. Stay safe out there. And if you guys have any questions that you have, any stories you want to share, Corona or not, hit us up. Hit us up on the socials. Brendan, what are those socials? Where can they find us?
We've got a lot of different socials. They are at member guest somewhere. I think that's on Instagram. There's an at member-guest. Or is that member-guest.com? Very easy to find. I always say, whenever I'm doing podcasts and ask me about our podcast, I say, if you really want to find it, you'll find it.
I think we can get up to like 300 people in a Zoom meeting. So maybe that would be kind of fun.
We did a Zoom meeting with seven couples total the other night, so 14 people, but just on seven devices. And it was just a shit show. It was so funny of like when you can talk and like how to not talk over somebody else. And Zoom itself, like if you have, it works pretty well if you've got two or even three people kind of talking, it'll kind of like do its best to blend those together so you can still like figure out what's going on. If you've got like six people talking on six, it's, forget it. You're done. Brendan, you're earbudded out.
My one is dead. My other one's working. I'm trying to charge it.
All right. So with that, may your drives fly straight, guitar stay tuned, and your toilet paper stay plentiful in this this weird time. And we're going to try and get you some more little podcasts from our home stations here shortly.
Sooner. I love it.
Bye,
thanks,
guys.
Boys. That was a welcome distraction.
Be safe.
I'm going to go back to my puzzle.
Adios.
Adios.
Later.